Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
And now on Breakfast with Vossi and Brandy, the back page with Michael Carayannis.
MC, that was big news yesterday.
Yeah, Brandy, it was, I'm sure. I heard your reaction earlier that you were shocked, and when I started to get word yesterday morning, I was equally as shocked, and I guess how quickly it's all moved from both parties. And firstly, I've got to say the respect that Penrith have shown James Fitzgerald is commendable, how quickly they've dealt with it. You know, usually we see clubs in this instance, you know, wrangle for a transfer fee, wrangle to try and entice the player to stay, or a player swap. There was none of that. You know, they've afforded him the respect that he's shown the club. And, you know, it's as clean cut of an exit of a high-profile player mid-contract that I've ever seen.
Because he's been at the club since he was 15. And he's you know, and it hasn't been, you know, a bed of roses the whole way. It's been... He's battled hard. So he's, as you said, he's given everything to the club. And I think the club have looked after him. I think they've done the right thing by him, for sure.
All right. I'll play hardball then, Michael. Because you're saying it is odd. No player swap, no argy-bargy. You know. So is it like, yes, it's admirable. And I absolutely, the credibility of the Panthers and all of that. But perhaps if you want to play hardball, it perhaps is bad business. Is there someone in the Warriors' ranks that Penrith should have looked at and said, well, you know what? Luke Metcalf? Yeah, I'm just saying we wouldn't mind having a little dabble there. You can have James Fisher-Harris, but we've got to get something of yours. Would that be better business to have suggested that?
We saw the Warriors do it with Adam Fennell-Blake, right? They sort of tried to instigate player swaps. And, you know, it was even touted as before Christmas, potentially the fact that, you know, could James Fisher-Harris be a swap for Adam Fennell-Blake, you know, all those months ago. And obviously Penrith didn't entertain it, and who could blame him? You know, it was just a more of a passing conversation than anything in depth. But I don't know, Vossi, I think sometimes you get some good karma in this game, and maybe that's what Penrith will get out of this. We saw the Warriors, having released Adam Fennell-Blake, wait patiently and eventually land, you know, arguably an upgrade, which is what you don't get to see sometimes. So I'm not going to be critical off Penrith for the way they've handled this.
Vossi, are you saying that the Warriors are top-heavy like the Tigers with halves? Tamari Martin?
I'm just saying in the real world of business and player swaps and all of that, if you're granting a little bit of release, you're entitled to get a little bit back the other way. Just the same way as James Fisher-Harris wants to come home, Penrith could have said, well, you know what, I wonder if Luke Metcalf would like to come home. Because we lose our six this year. I keep saying Jerome Luai is out the door. He's out the door. Superstar for Penrith. You know, superstar for Penrith. Position vacant. That's where Penrith, I think, are going to be investing the money that they now have from James Fisher-Harris. I think they need to, and I'm just saying, Luke Metcalf, could they have asked him, would he like to come home, Andrew Webster?
No, that is interesting, because you do, it does allow sometimes for a roster reset. Not that Penrith need a roster reset, but you look at what the Dragons have cleared up, you know, 800,000+ in their salary cap for, you know, having moved on Zach Lomax, and they've got nothing out of it except for salary cap space, which they were quite happy to receive. Although, you know, Fisher-Harris isn't on a bad deal for Penrith. He's on mega money, but he's on market value, if not potentially a little bit under what he could have got, you know, elsewhere. But I understand what you're saying, but it does allow them now to potentially find, you know, dip their toe in the market. And, you know, if any player is restless, at a club at the moment, Penrith becomes a major option, because Penrith will have to go to the marketplace, right? Whether it's for whatever position they go for, whether they think it's going to be a middle or a half or whatever case may be. And Penrith haven't been in this position, or haven't needed to be in this position for a few years now. They haven't gone and bought someone since probably signing Uppy or Capewell a couple of years ago. And they probably weren't top-end players at the time when they signed them. So now they become an attractive proposition for players who may not be settled at their club. So I think Penrith now being a player in the marketplace is going to shake up the transfer market for sure.
There was plenty of talk, and there has been right up until now, about Nelson Asifa-Solomona and his contract there at the Melbourne Storm. He'll line up for the Storm in tonight's game against the Roosters, but I think everything seems to be pretty settled there, or am I reading it wrong?
Well, I don't know if it's settled yet, Brandy. I think he's just got to earn the trust back a little bit of the coaching staff at Melbourne. And, you know, the proof will be in his performance, not just tonight, but in the next couple of weeks. And, you know, if he plays the way we know Nelson can play, then obviously they'll alleviate all the sort of angst that some of the Storm officials definitely felt over summer. However, if he doesn't produce what he's capable of, I think it will be a watch this space with Nelson at the Storm. I don't think his future there is as secure as has been alluded to, but you know, he's a difference maker for that forward pack. That forward pack desperately needs him to be at the best. And Melbourne want him, obviously, to try and replicate the form that they know that he's capable of. And if he can get to that, then I think you'll find that Nelson will be sweet at Melbourne. But if he's a bit scratchy in his NRL return, I think those talks or all those rumours and you know, other clubs lurking in the background will resurface, because there's no doubt that clubs asked the question around Nelson over the last couple of weeks.
Now, the Knights have snapped up James Schiller. So, and that, I think it's a good signing. He was very good for the Canberra Raiders last weekend. Dane Gagai, is he at the Knights next year?
Yeah, it's an interesting one with Dane Gagai. Obviously, you're right, Brandy, they've signed James Schiller for next season, and they need to add some speed to that back line. Well, they need to add some speed to that team, Newcastle. If you're looking at, you know, where they're at the moment, aside from Kalen Ponga, you know, Bradman Best is robust, but you wouldn't say he's the quickest outside back in the game. They just don't have an abundance of speed, and that's what Schiller will add to that squad. And Dan Gagai is off contract at the end of the season. They have had talks. Newcastle are keen to retain him, but only on a, you know, year-by-year contract. And whether Dan Gagai wants to do that or try and chase what he thinks is a premiership somewhere else or whatever the case may be, I think that's going to be one that plays out over the next couple of weeks. But he's definitely keen to go on again, Dan Gagai, and he's chasing a, you know, potentially a two-year deal. And at the moment, I think the Knights are only comfortable with offering him a 12-month contract.
On the text, Mark says, Spencer Lenu only did a two-year deal. Hashtag just saying. If the Panthers knew they were losing James Fisher-Harris,
if
hypothetically, Brandy, would they have lost Spencer Lenu?
Oh, if. No, I don't think so. No. That things would have been completely different. If you knew James was finishing at the end of this year, yeah, that would have been a different scenario.
Well, you just would have tried to potentially swap for Noah Blake too. You know, there's so many. And this this is not Penrith. This is not Penrith's fault. I'm not being critical of them, but realistically, that could have happened, you know. But obviously, with the timing of things, it just didn't work out that way.
Then also now, Tito Taruva. So, does that mean? And I don't know. I'm not going to push Brandy to say they have a cap on how much they'd be prepared to pay him. But does that mean there is a little bit more money there for Taruva within the salary cap to throw at him to re-sign, or Penrith is their best already being presented?
There is the potential for it, but whether or not they want to extend themselves further is a question that Penrith will need to answer, because they have a number in mind for Taruva, and I think Taruva has indicated that he wants to stay. Whether or not they can find an extra 50, 75 or whatever the case may be to try and get him to stay, I'm not sure if Penrith will opt to do that. Obviously, with Newcastle signing James Schiller, they're out of the race, having met with Taruva. They didn't put anything formal to Taruva
over the last couple of weeks, but he did tour their facilities. The Dragons are well keen on him in a unique deal that they've put forward to him in terms of a trigger based on the position that he plays. So if he plays X amount at fullback, it will be it's quite a significant contract. If he plays X amount on wing, it will be a different. I think we're talking between 400,000 to 600,000 potentially, depending on where he plays, which is an interesting deal. And one, you know, Penrith aren't going to get anywhere near the fullback money that the Dragons could potentially offer.
Because he is a fullback. All his junior footy, he played fullback. So his first year on the wing was last year, rookie of the year.
Can we just revisit some of his backstory, though? This is a really interesting situation with where, you know, people say, oh, you've got to have loyalty, but it's hard when you're getting offered $200,000 more a year and all that. But Tito is an extreme case because Penrith all chipped in. Like, he went through absolute tragedy. The sudden death of his mother, the family home burning down. They left with just essentially the shirts on their back. And the Penrith club rallied behind Tito, as I understand it, Brandy.
Correct.
And, you know, fundraisers and all that sort of thing. So he would feel, you know, be a really strong sense of loyalty to the club because of that. I mean, that's an extreme example of... Of a life-changing event that the club was there to help the player. I think, you know, that's... He would feel very loyal to them.
Yeah, there's no doubt, Vossie. He has been through some tough times, Tito. What about this one, Michael? Hearing Dragons rumour that Ben Hunt will get offered a two-year extension with an option for a third soon to be announced.
No.
Nope, you haven't heard that?
No way. No, he's not going to get... No way. Ben Hunt's not going to get a two-year contract, which expires at the end of next year on top of that. No way. He'll be a year-by-year proposition. And, you know, I don't think anything's been tabled to Ben Hunt yet, despite, you know, he's off contract at the end of next year. So how old's Ben Hunt now? 34?
Yes.
You know,
so he's 35. Yeah, Adam Reynolds, 33. The halfbacks are old. Or older than most players in the comp. Just last one, quick tip tonight, Roosters or Storm? Which way are you going, Michael?
Oh,
it's tough.
This is the hardest game of the round to pick. I'm going Roosters, but no confidence.
Roosters locked in. We'll keep our tips for later after Wally the Statman. See, hear what he's got to say. Michael, have a great Thursday. You're all over it yesterday, the big news, and that's the story on the Telegraph website.
Chat to you tomorrow. See you guys. Thank you.
See you, MC.
He needs a sign off, doesn't he? Like Dave Riccio has go well. Michael needs something.
No, I don't think so. No, he doesn't need one. No.
All right. We're here for Brighton's Lawyers. Unable to work due to injury or illness. Contact Brighton's Lawyers. Best legal advice going. This is Breakfast with Vossie and Brandy on the Home of Sport SEN.